Today we continue our exploration of the Mass. We've spoken about the Mass in a general way, and then we talked about the introductory rite and the penitential rite. And today's topic is the liturgy of the Word. So that includes the first reading, the responsorial psalm, the second reading, and then the gospel. So what does the liturgy of the Word have to do with Taylor Swift? Good question. You know, until very recently, I had never heard a song sung by Taylor Swift. I was aware of who she is and how popular she is, but I never listened to her music, not for any special reason, just never did. Well, one of her concerts was playing on one of the streaming services, so I decided to watch. I was curious. It was 3 hours long, and I was not 3 hours worth of curious. So I did a lot of skipping. But I was able to listen to parts of a lot of the songs. She's a very accomplished entertainer. She presents well on stage. I enjoyed her melodies. I couldn't understand a lot of the words that she was saying, but that didn't seem to be a problem for the audience. They all seemed to be singing along to every song. What amazed me more than anything was the reaction of the audience when she came on stage. Her first couple of words were something like, "Hello, Los Angeles." Well, the crowd went crazy. The camera focused on this middle-aged woman. She was in tears. Middle-aged? Yeah. And then there were others jumping up and down and screaming. And during the songs, the people held their phones up in the air, waving them, you know, with the lights on. And then after each song, the applause and the cheers went on what seemed like forever. I had a sense that the audience felt they could relate to her, and they could relate to the stories that she was telling through her songs, and that along with being in the presence of a bona fide superstar, their ability to relate to her caused this overwhelming exuberance. And I thought to myself, during the Mass, during the liturgy of the Word, we hear the Word of God. We hear God speaking through the prophets. We hear how God guided, shepherded, and protected the Israelites. We listen to the Psalms, you know, the songs of God's chosen people. They lifted their voices to God, sometimes in praise, sometimes in anguish, and sometimes pleading for his help. We listen to the New Testament writings of Paul and the others who tried to put that miraculous event, which is Jesus, into focus and perspective for us. And very importantly, we hear the Gospels, the very story of the life of Jesus, God, who came into the human condition to teach us, to save us, and to love us. Now, I'm not taking anything away from a young girl singing about getting her heart broken or growing emotionally, but hearing the Word of God spoken through the sacred writers and through God himself in the person of Jesus is really a bit overwhelming. I mean, it's not like I want you to start screaming and cheering when you hear the readings and the Psalms, and I don't want you waving your telephones in the air. That would be weird. But if you sit attentively and listen as God speaks to you, you cannot help but be moved. Now, some of what you hear in the scripture readings will upset you, and it should upset you. The readings give us guidance on how we should live our lives. One of the major themes in the Old and New Testament is the conflicting attractions of what we call the world and the will of God. Because all of us struggle with these conflicts, we can become uncomfortable when we hear the sacred writers and Jesus give us guidance on our choices. We don't always appreciate that guidance. Often we want to just keep doing what we're doing. The readings also tell us about who God is. Remember that the scriptures are the inspired word of God. They comprise one of the main instruments that God used to communicate with us. The Old Testament is really just a love story between God and the chosen people. We see God as a loving parent and protector who sometimes finds it necessary to discipline his children. In the gospel, Jesus describes God as the father of the prodigal son, the child whose sins seemed beyond forgiveness. He describes God as the shepherd who will abandon the 99 sheep to seek out the wayward one. And we see God's compassion when we listen as Jesus heals the sick, drives out demons, and even raises people from the dead. See, all of the scriptures point toward Jesus. The readings from the Old Testament look forward to his coming. We heard that today in today's reading from the prophet Micah, who foretold that the great ruler of Israel would come from the insignificant village of Bethlehem. That happened, of course, with the birth of Jesus. The letters of Paul, John, Peter, and the others look back on the life of Jesus, helping us to understand the meaning and purpose of his time with us and relating his teachings to our own lives. And then, of course, the Gospels describe the words and actions of Jesus, God in our midst. Our Gospel reading today tells the compelling stories of two of the most important characters in the drama leading to the birth of Jesus and his forerunner, John the Baptist. We heard the exchange between Elizabeth. She was the older woman who had been unable to have children, who was now in her sixth month. She was carrying John the Baptist. And of course, Mary, the young woman who was not even married and who was asked by an angel to become the mother of Jesus, the mother of God. You can't help but hear the joy in both Elizabeth and Mary, joy that is the result of following the will of God, surrendering to the will of God. And it is a joy that's promised to each of us if we will do the same. Our second reading from the letter to the Hebrews contains a profound insight into the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. The total sacrifice of Jesus' very life was compared to the many sacrifices that were common among the Jewish people of that time. You know, sacrifices of animals or grains and other things. The sacred author was reminding us that our total commitment to the teachings of Jesus is more important than anything that we can do. And if we relate that message to ourselves, we can say that, yes, it's important to come to Mass, to say our prayers, to receive the sacraments. But these actions must reflect an inner commitment, an inner sacrifice of ourselves to the will of God. Without that, it's just theater. The scripture readings that we hear each week tell us about God, our Creator, and the one who sustains our lives every minute of every day. And that's a big deal. But when we hear the readings, we should also ask ourselves how those messages relate to us, to our own personal situation. I mean, these are important questions, but unfortunately, they are questions that many of us either ignore or avoid asking. See, the scripture readings are not just nice stories. One of the great tragedies of our current situation, the fact that so many Catholics stay away from the Mass, is that they are never prompted to consider life's most important questions. How did I get here? What is my purpose? How do I find meaning in life? And what comes after this earthly life? We find answers to these questions as we listen attentively to the Word of God. I understand that some people paid thousands of dollars to see Taylor Swift in concert, and after watching that recording, it seems like they had an amazing time, that the words and songs and Taylor's presence made it all worthwhile. And as I said, it seems that the audience could relate to her. It doesn't cost you anything to walk through the doors of our church. We hope that you put a little something in the collection basket, but even that is optional. And please keep in mind that while the liturgy of the word and the Mass in general are compelling, challenging, and even exciting, it's not meant to be entertainment. It's so much more than that. You see, each week you're invited to learn about and relive the story of God's loving covenant relationship with his people, with us. And as Taylor's audiences were able to relate to her and her songs, I hope that you can relate to the characters and the message in God's great love story. And hey, you even get a meal. But that's a story for another day.